Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friend and truth seeker. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. Today, we're talking about secrets in the Book of Revelation. This is Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Every Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, that's 1 p.m. Eastern, and on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Texas time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern, we are talking about prophecies in the Book of Revelation. Today, our focus is the purple and scarlet prophecy. It appears in the Book of Revelation in chapters 17, chapters 18, and verses 1 to 5 of 19. So this is the documentary. It's the vision John the Revelator was shown as he stood in heaven after being supernaturally transported. He stood in heaven and he was shown visions that were external to himself, moving pictures with sound. Today we call moving pictures with sound movies, but these weren't movies about fictitious events. He was shown what we would refer to in 2024 as documentaries. He was shown documentaries about the end of the age, which was thousands of years relative to the time that he was in a mortal, corruptible body on this earth, but it's soon coming with respect to the time that we are here on this present earth. So today, the focus is the Antichrist, Rome, and the upcoming destruction of Babylon. In a nutshell, the Antichrist will rise to power in a relatively short period of time. He will be the mouthpiece, the leader of a 10-nation alliance described in Revelation chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It's revealed in Daniel that there will be 10 leaders, 10 kings. In today's vernacular, their titles may be president, prime minister, or some other title. The political leader for 10 nations, there will be 10 of them, each with its own political leader. The Antichrist will cause three of them to be uprooted from the root. He will become what's referred to in Revelation chapter 17. He will become what's referred to as the Scarlet Beast. The Scarlet Beast. And Rome will have a prominent role in the events referred to as Daniel's 70th week. So there's a prophecy in the Book of Revelation which shares about the return of Jesus Christ, the timing. The last 7 years, what do we mean by last? The 7 years preceding the return of Jesus Christ represent that period of time where the sands in the hourglass are running out for God's anger with Israel. What does that mean? Israel gave itself to other gods. So many of the prophets in the books that we refer to as the minor prophets talk about the frustration, the anger, the jealousy that God had as Israel gave itself to other gods, false gods. The book of Hosea is very specific about this. But God promises that he will not be angry with Israel forever. And he shared with Daniel the timing for which his anger would end. And that timing ends with a seven-year period. So what does that mean for you and for me? It means that when the 70th week comes to a conclusion, Jesus Christ returns. One of the key events that will signal, for every person who understands Bible prophecy, one of the key events that will signal the return of Jesus Christ is the rebuilding of the third temple. Jesus Christ will not return as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah until the third temple is rebuilt. Now, the Antichrist is going to stand in that rebuilt temple and declare that he is God. The Antichrist will work in tandem with the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13 reveals that the Antichrist will work in tandem with what's noted as another beast. So, of course, there's the beast, which is Satan. That's referred to, that's defined for us. Satan is the dragon and the beast in Revelation chapter 20. The Antichrist is also referred to as a beast in several places. In Revelation chapter 17, he's referred to as the scarlet beast, and the false prophet is also referred to as a beast. He's noted as another beast in the second half of Revelation chapter 13. Now, we're going to focus today on the rise of Rome. We need to understand and be prepared for the rise of Rome. We're going to see in Bible scripture today the body of the great prostitute. So on this present earth, we have tangible matter. So you and I exist, three in one, body, spirit, and soul. And every organization has a home base, a physical location, a tangible geographic region with defined coordinates, a place that you and I could visit if we had access to it and we were so inclined to go. Rome is very important because it will be the wealthiest city in this entire world during the Great Tribulation. This is an important secret for us to understand. We're going to look at the scripture to see what it tells us about this. Now, why is it going to be wealthy, and what's the significance of Rome? Let's backtrack for a second. Recall that Rome played a prominent role in the destruction of the second temple. So in 70 AD, the temple in Israel, rebuilt by Jeshua and Zerubbabel, was destroyed by Rome. The Roman soldiers destroyed the temple of the Lord in Israel in 70 AD. In the very near future, Rome will again play a role in an attempt to destroy the temple through desecration. Rome will be the headquarters for the harlot church, the one world religion. Now, this is documented in Revelation chapter 17. Let's take a look at it. So Revelation chapter 17 has three key clues that share with truth seekers The location, which is the headquarters for the One World Religion, the Harlot Church. Now, Babylon, let's go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 18. Babylon is a city. And Revelation chapter 17, verse 18 says, let's go up for a second. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. An angel speaking to John the Revelator says, "Then the angel said to me, 'The waters where the prostitute,'" and the prostitute is the One World Religion, "'the waters where the prostitute is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and his 10 horns, so that's saying the Antichrist, and the 10 leaders of the 10-nation alliance, the One World Government during the Great Tribulation, the scarlet beast and his 10 horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire." Now, if the One World Religion is the great prostitute, and it is, what is it meant here by "they will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire"? So the prostitute has a physical body. It has a home base. It has a headquarters. The headquarters for the One World Religion is Rome. Verse 18 says, "And this woman you saw in your vision," talking about the great prostitute, the mother of all prostitutes. So in other words, the One World Religion will have covenant with all of the false religions during the Great Tribulation. "And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world." So the great city is Rome. It's the body of the great prostitute. Now let's look at the secrets that reveal that information. In the same chapter, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast," so this is saying the great prostitute. The woman is the great prostitute, the harlot church. "There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing." So that's secret number one. So the One World Religion, with respect to what can one observe in the physical realm about the One World Religion during the Great Tribulation. So it says that this One World Religion is clothed with purple and scarlet clothing. Then it says, "and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls." That's secret number two. It also says here, "in her hand she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and impurities of her immorality." So the One World Religion is a false religion. And verse 5 says, "a mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world." So Babylon the Great refers to the reality that Babylon is a city, and it will be the greatest city, the most wealthy city, the most powerful city during the Great Tribulation. So this woman, it says, on her forehead. Now recall, the forehead is the location that will be utilized by God to document every individual who is a member of his forever family. So that's why the Antichrist, under the inspiration of Satan, his mark will go on the forehead of all who are children of Satan. All who worship the Antichrist will have his mark on their forehead in the same way that Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 22 reveal that all who are children of God, we will have his mark on our foreheads. That's the real mark. The mark of the beast is the counterfeit mark. Now, the relevance here is on the name of the woman noted in the purple and scarlet prophecy, on her forehead it says Babylon the Great. So her identity includes a physical location, a city. And the city is Babylon and it's great. The city is Rome. The other identification of the woman, it says mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. So it's the false religion. All of the false religions of the world are going to come into covenant with the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not talking about what's happening today. I'm talking about what will happen during the Great Tribulation. That specific religion will be the mother of all false religions. They will all come into covenant with the Roman Catholic Church. They will all agree that the Antichrist is God, and they will all agree to take the mark of the beast and to bow down and to worship the statue of the beast. I said bow down. Revelation chapter 13 doesn't use the language bow, but it says to worship the statue of the beast. So Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes, that's written on the forehead of the woman. So there's an intertwining. So the two key pieces of information that communicate the identity of the woman is its physical home base, its headquarters, and the fact that it is a false religion and the mother of all prostitutes. Now let's hear more about Babylon. When we go to Revelation 17, verse 9, it says, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. So this is secret number three. So our question is, how do we know that Babylon is Rome? Or how do we know what Babylon is? And we've been talking about this on other programs. We had one program where we focused exclusively on that. Today we're going to focus on the rise of Rome. But just to recap very briefly, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. So we have the woman is clothed with purple and scarlet. The woman rules from a location which is the seven hills location. And the woman also wears beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. As you may know, the Roman Catholic Church has a leadership that looks like this. At the top is the Pope. The final Pope is the false prophet, described in Revelation chapter 13. Six key activities of the final Pope are noted there. Six key activities during the Great Tribulation. Underneath the Pope is the College of Bishops on one side, and on the other side, the College of Cardinals. The outfit, the regalia, the uniform, if you will, by cardinals, every cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church wears a specific outfit, a specific uniform, regalia, when the individual is conducting leadership activities, and the color of that regalia is scarlet. As you may guess, for the College of Bishops, when those individuals are in their regalia, in their uniform, the color that they wear is purple. So in effect, the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church is clothed in purple and scarlet. And of course, if you look at the crowns worn by various leaders in the Roman Catholic Church, indeed, you'll see that they are made of gold and precious gems and pearls. Finally, let's talk about the fact that Rome is the city of seven hills. It was a city of seven hills 2,000 years ago, and it's referred to as the city of seven hills today. If you look in Britannica or other primary sources that talk about geographic locations and major cities in the world, you will see that Rome is a city of seven hills. We've talked about that many times on this program. Just recapping briefly, we're going to get to now the key focus of our discussion today, which is the rise of Rome. Now let's take a look at the GDP, the gross domestic product of cities on this present earth. So I'm looking at the free encyclopedia, and today the city with the largest GDP to date in recorded history, they have here 2022, is New York. That's the Newark metropolitan area, and this may be one of the reasons why people frequently refer to New York as Mystery Babylon. Some translations of the Book of Revelation say Great Babylon. Others say Mystery Babylon. And I've heard many people say that New York is Babylon, but New York is not Babylon. New York's not clothed in purple and scarlet. New York isn't the city of seven hills. New York is not the headquarters for the upcoming One World Religion during the Great Tribulation. So let's hear the top 10 cities in terms of gross domestic product today. New York, number one. Greater Tokyo in Japan, number two. Los Angeles, Long Beach metropolitan area in the United States, number three. Chicago in the United States of America, number four. London in the United Kingdom, number five, Paris in France, number six, San Francisco in the United States, number eight, Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, that metropolitan area, also in the United States, number 10, and the D.C. Area, Washington, Arlington, Alexandria, that's where I happen to live, referred to as the DMV, that's listed as number 10. Now, when we look at Rome is listed, it's not number 100, it's not number 200, it's not even number 300. Let me make sure I have this right. Okay, many Romes are listed on this list. I have a correction. So we're talking about Rome in Italy. So Rome is, let me revise my statement, Rome's not number 20, number 30, number 40, number 50, number 60, number 70, number 80. It is number 89. Now, you might say, why are we talking about this in 2024? When things begin to change, in other words, when we begin to see an escalation of the reality of prophecies in the Book of Revelation happening. So in other words, they're not future events that are predicted in the Book of Revelation, but past events that were prophesied and which happened. You begin to gain confidence that the other secrets revealed in the Book of Revelation are going to come to pass. That's important. Faith is confidence in God. God has given us the Book of Revelation so that during the Great Tribulation, we will not fear the distressing realities that come to all who are Team Jesus. There's no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 document the reality, let me revise that. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 5, document the reality that believers will be here during the Great Tribulation, and some of us believers will lose our lives due to our refusing to take the mark of the beast and are refusing to worship the statue of the beast. But we're instructed to stand in confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in God. Well, why should we be confident in God when the Antichrist will do whatever he wants, according to Revelation chapter 13, for 42 months? Because we know that doing whatever he wants ends at the end of 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Now, let's take a look at this. Rome right now is number 89. The Rome metropolitan area in Italy, there's another Rome the correct one that we're talking about, Rome, the metropolitan area in Italy, is number 89. So today in 2024, we're talking about the reality that Rome's going to go from number 89 to number 1. From 89 to number 1. Now, when this comes to pass, no one can say there's any individual on the planet who is smart enough to figure that out years in advance or to predict it years in advance, but an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, an omnipotent God documented this future event so that we would know the things to come, so that we will not be in the dark. So Rome is number 89. Its gross domestic product in the last time it was documented was $175 billion. That makes it number 89. Number 89 with respect to wealth, which is measured by gross domestic product, for all the cities of the world. Again, today is April 21st of 2024. Now, let's go to Scripture. Let's go to Scripture. Let us hear about the reality that Rome is going to be the most wealthy city during the Great Tribulation. Okay, so let's go and look at those Scriptures, and then we'll hear the documentary in its entirety. Revelation 18, talking about Babylon, says, "After all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen.'" Okay, so there we have the scripture that confirms that Babylon is a city. And we heard in Revelation 17, the mother of all prostitutes has on her forehead two things. One of the things is Babylon the Great. So Babylon is a city during the Great Tribulation. After the Great Tribulation, it's going to be a fallen city. It says here, Revelation 18, verse 2, "Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen." Now, what makes her so great? We're about to hear it. "She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture, and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her." Now, that refers to the fact that the other piece of information on her forehead, the mother of all prostitutes. So what does it mean in the book of Revelation, prostitution? So a prostitute is any individual who gives himself or herself intimately, passionately, to a false god. Any individual who worships a false god. So God's goal, his greatest desire, is to have a forever family. Individuals who love him, who choose him, who are faithful to him. And so the church is going to marry the bridegroom. In Hosea God talks about how Israel in the beginning gave herself to God, but then committed adultery with false gods. And so this is what's on God's mind. So do you ever wonder, what does God think about? What does God think about? If you look at his conversations, what he told Hosea, what he told Ezekiel, what he told Jeremiah, again and again, he talks about the day and the hour and the time where he's going to return. He's going to return for Israel, and Israel is going to give itself again passionately, fully, completely, only to him. Not to Moloch, not to Baal, not to Kaiwin, any of these other false gods mentioned in the Bible, not to astrology, not to the one world religion, not to the Antichrist. Now, we've heard about the one world religion and the fact that Babylon, this great city, during the Great Tribulation, she's going to become a home for demons. Every fallen angel thrown out of heaven during the timing of the Great Tribulation, when there's a war in heaven, Revelation chapter 12 reveals that the archangel Michael is going to be given the green light by God. We know that because he goes to war with Satan. Of course, he goes to battle, I should say. He goes to battle with Satan. He throws Satan out of heaven. When he's thrown out of heaven, where is he thrown to? He's thrown down to this earth. So he's relegated. He's confined to the earth, and with him, all of the fallen angels who are also presently with him in heaven. Now, when these fallen angels come, where are they going to live? What's going to be their home base? So think about it this way. You have a home base. Maybe your home base is Houston or Dallas or Garland or Atlanta or New York. You have a home base, but you can go other places, and sometimes you do. These fallen angels and Satan, it says right here, Babylon is fallen, so talking about the headquarters for the one world religion, Rome. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit. So the home base for the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation, and the fallen angels and Satan who are demoted, they're demoted from heaven, they're thrown out of heaven. Rome's going to be their home base. We've heard about that. It says the kings of the world have committed adultery with her. The nations, the leaders of nations are going to make the one world religion the national religion for their nations. I was listening some months ago to PGN, and a young woman was giving her testimony, and she was saying that although she's American, she lives in America, in the country that her parents are from, which she said was Haiti, she said the national religion of Haiti is voodoo. That is her testimony. So what's the testimony, what's the report here in the book of Revelation? It says, the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. So they're going to worship the Antichrist, the nations, and it says the kings of the world have committed adultery with her. They're going to co-sign. They're going to make it official. Now let's get to the part about the rise of Rome. That's our real focus for today. It says, because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of the world have grown rich. Did you hear that? Because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of the world have grown rich. So in Rome, we're going to see the one world religion having a lot of financial activities. They are going to have a lot of money. People are going to be sending their tithes and offerings to the one world religion. The other false religions are going to be supporting the Roman Catholic Church financially. And the Roman Catholic Church is going to have a lot of business the one world religion with the merchants of the world. Let's see other scriptures that talk about this. We're talking about the rise of Rome. Verse 7, talking about Babylon, says, she glorified herself and lived in luxury. So match it now with torment and sorrow. Okay, so living in luxury. And then let's go down to verse 9. And the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. So in this prophecy, we're going to hear that Rome is going to be destroyed in a single day. It's going to be consumed by fire. Rome's going to burn to the ground. All that's going to remain are its charred remains. But let's focus on this key part right now. The kings of the world will enjoy her great luxury. So they will benefit from the alliances that they have, the connection to, the allegiance to the one world religion. They're going to benefit financially as a result of making the one world religion the national religion, the religion endorsed by the actual government of nations around the world. Now, I'm not saying every nation is going to do it, but many nations will do it. It appears that most will do it. Because it says, the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her. And earlier, we had that language every. Let's see if I can find that again. It said, for all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. So all the nations are going to be impacted by the one world religion, even the United States of America and other places. So we need to know what is coming up. Now let's talk about the luxury of Rome, the fact that it's going to go from number 89 to number 1. Verse 18:11 says, the merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her, talking about the headquarters for the one world religion, that city, which is Babylon, for there is no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels, and pearls. So Rome is going to be very wealthy, and the one world religion is going to have a lot of transactions with the merchants of the world. Specifically, the one world religion will be a consumer of, it says here, gold, silver, jewels, and pearls. Then it goes on to say fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth. Now, why is the one world religion, why are they buying fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth? Think about it. So some people have said that Washington, D.C. is the city of seven hills. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Washington, D.C. isn't clothed with purple and scarlet. New York's not clothed with purple and scarlet. Some say Jerusalem is. Jerusalem's not clothed with purple and scarlet and certainly not going to be burned down to the ground with only its with only charred remains being left over. The one world religion it has as its headquarters is going to buy purple and scarlet cloth because it needs that cloth to clothe its leadership, just like law enforcement organizations need, in America, they need navy blue cloth. The post office needs cloth for the outfits that its postal carriers wear. Let's keep going. What else does the Roman Catholic Church, the one world religion, during the Great Tribulation, what else do they buy? It says, things made of fragrant thyan wood, ivory goods, and objects made of expensive wood, and bronze, iron, and marble. So they're going to be using these materials. They're going to probably rebuild many of the places of worship in Rome. They're going to make them more ornate and do other things with these materials. Verse 13 says, she also bought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, and bodies, that is, human slaves. I want to pause there for a second. Human slaves. Now, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about human trafficking. And the reality that slavery continues to exist. In the United States of America, we talk about slavery was abolished on this date, and then this happened and that happened. But we're talking about slavery in 2024. It looks very different than slavery in 1764 or 1864. Our discussion today is not about slavery worldwide, although that's very important. But we're talking about the reality that there will be a one-world religion where that religion is, the Bible says, her sins are piled as high as heaven. Of course, the number one sin is to worship a false god, to give oneself to a false god, the Antichrist. But a very important sin is to partake in the purchase, the ownership of other human beings. It's morally reprehensible. Now, the Bible says we're a slave to anything we obey. Okay? So in the Bible, the disciples refer to themselves as slaves to Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you're looking at slavery in the Bible, you have to look at the context of the specific scripture that you're looking at. Slavery is not always referred to in a negative way in the Bible, but here it certainly is. Here it certainly is. Human slaves. This is talking about human trafficking. Now, is it sex trafficking? Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. For sure, we know that there's no good reason for an individual or an organization to own another human being. It's wrong. It's wrong. Man's definition of slavery is wrong. It's immoral. It's unethical. It's reprehensible. It's despicable. It's a sin. Now, think about this. So many people will be deceived. In Revelation chapter 13, six key actions of the false prophet, the final pope, are described. One of the key actions is that he's going to perform a specific supernatural miracle. He's going to call down fire from heaven. Many people will be dazzled by the reality of witnessing with their own eyes a bona fide miracle. But there is supernatural power. Supernatural power either comes from God the Father or it comes from Satan. Those who are the children of Satan will be excited and dazzled and deceived by the miracle performed by the final pope when he calls down fire from heaven. Now, this one-world religion is going to be a great religion that unifies many, unifies many. They're all going to say, and they have different names for their God, they have different names for their God, but they're all going to say that the Antichrist is the God that they have been waiting for, is their God, and they're all going to take the mark of the beast. Interestingly, human slaves, human trafficking, my best guess, if I had to guess, is that this part about human slaves refers to sex slaves, sex trafficking. The Roman Catholic Church has a big problem with sexual immorality. Now, indeed, the world has a problem with sexual immorality. It's not limited to the Roman Catholic Church, but we're talking about the reality that during the Great Tribulation, the book of Revelation indicates that the one-world religion, the harlot church at that time, will be the Roman Catholic Church, and that that organization will purchase many things, and among those things is human beings. It literally says bodies, that is human slaves. Now, what would the Roman Catholic Church want to do with these human slaves? I'm going to pause there. It's very disturbing to consider. Let's talk about the reality that Rome is going to be the most wealthy city during the Great Tribulation. Revelation 18, verse 14 says, "The fancy things you love so much are gone. All your luxuries and splendor are gone forever." So this is talking about physical luxuries. This is talking about wealth. What wealth? All the gold and the silver and the jewels and the pearls. All the cattle, the wheat, the sheep, the horses, the marble, the iron. So this is talking about the billions of dollars. The billions of dollars, I'm saying dollars, but I'm talking about wealth in terms of these physical things, as well as the money, whatever the denomination is, used during the Great Tribulation. This is going to be the greatest city. Babylon the Great, what does that mean? It's great in terms of its wealth and its influence. So we're talking about the wealth of Rome, the rise of Rome during the Great Tribulation. It's going to have luxuries and splendor. So today when I think of Rome, certainly it has, it's a beautiful city, and there's some wealth there, but I don't think of Rome as having luxuries and splendor. Why not? It's not that wealthy today in 2024. New York is extremely wealthy. Tokyo's extremely wealthy. But during the Great Tribulation, Rome is going to be the greatest city that exists with respect to wealth on this planet. It's hard for us to imagine. When you look in the Bible, they talk about Thebes and how Thebes was an amazing city, and yet it fell. Now, today, we're talking about in the soon-coming future that Rome is going to be the greatest city, the wealthiest city that any of us has ever experienced during our lifetime. It's going to have luxuries and splendor. Now, verse 15 says, "The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment." So the people who belong to this world, they're going to watch Rome burn. And this is what they're going to say, the captains of the merchant ships. Verse 18 says, "They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, 'Where is there another city as great as this?'" So again, reiterating the reality that Rome is going to be an amazing city, a wealthy city, a powerful city, a luxurious city, a city clothed not only in purple and scarlet. So the Roman Catholic Church is going to be more dominant, more impactful, more visible, more influential than it has ever been in its entire history. And the city that is its headquarters, Rome, the city of Seven Hills, the city clothed in purple scarlet, it's going to be great. It's going to be so great, so luxurious, so wealthy that when it is burned to the ground, folks are going to say, "Where is there another city as great as this?" Then it says they're also going to say in verse 19, it says, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it's all gone. So lots of people are going to benefit from the tithes, the offerings, and the other financial activities that cause Rome to increase in wealth and splendor. So why do we need to know about the rise of Rome? Many people strongly believe, and people who love God, people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, they believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. How do we know? Revelation 20, verses 1 to 5. I believe that many of you who are hearing the sound of my voice, you will be here. We will be here during the Great Tribulation, and you will see Rome go from number 89 to number 1. When you see that happen, then you will also know that the other prophecies in the book of Revelation are sure to come to pass, specifically the marriage supper prophecy, that after Rome is destroyed, after Babylon is burned to the ground with fire, Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven, also riding white horses, and accompanied by all his faithful ones. Let's go to that. Revelation, the prophecy we're looking at today, confirms that about the Battle of Armageddon, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be here to witness the Battle of Armageddon. Now, who's fighting the Battle of Armageddon? Jesus Christ. And he has armies. He has armies. But with him will be his called and chosen and faithful ones. Let's hear that. Revelation 17, verse 14, let's start with verse 13, says, they will all agree to give him their power and authority, talking about the 10 kings, the presidents and prime ministers of the 10 nations that formed the one world government during the Great Tribulation. It says, they will all agree to give him their power. They're going to give their power to the Antichrist. Together, they will go to war against the Lamb. So this is talking about the Battle of Armageddon. It's just mentioning it briefly. It says, together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. So we care about these other prophecies in the book of Revelation because we need to know what is going to happen, and it's going to strengthen our faith. It's going to give us even greater confidence in God, to know that the Lord knew before, thousands of years before the start of the Great Tribulation, that Rome was going to go from number 89 to number 1. Now, what else does the Lord know? Together they will go to war against the Lamb. It's talking about the Battle of Armageddon in Israel after the destruction of Rome. But the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. So we will be with Jesus Christ watching the Battle of Armageddon. Now, it's time for us to hear the prophecy in its entirety. The prophecy in its entirety, the Lord instructed me today to discuss the rise of Rome. I'm telling you, I have no knowledge of economics. I have not studied economics privately. I've never taken any college courses in economics. I didn't even study economics in high school. It's no way possible that I could predict accurately that Rome is going to go from number 89 to number 1, number 1 for gross domestic product. Yet here I am predicting that on April 21st, 2024, and in reality, I'm not predicting anything. I'm reporting a secret that God has revealed in his book. I'm reporting a secret that God has revealed in the book of Revelation. Now let's hear what else is included in this purple and scarlet prophecy. This is the prophecy about the destruction of Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great is a city. It's the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation. In this prophecy, we are at this point in time. So if we look at the end of the age, we begin with the rebuilding of the temple, and then after the temple is rebuilt, let's go to the next key event. The Antichrist stands in the middle of the third temple in Israel, which will be built on the Temple Mount, he declares that he is God. The next key event, he stops the animal sacrifices. All of a sudden, the scales fall off of the eyes of the Jewish people, and they realize that the Antichrist is not their friend, but he is, in fact, an agent of Satan because he's going to declare war against all Jews. The next key event, the war on Jews, is going to be enlarged to include a war on Christians. That's at the end of Revelation chapter 12. The Great Tribulation, a time of great distress for all who are God's children, will last for 1,260 days. The next key event after the Great Tribulation, discussed in Revelation chapter 13, the next key event appears in Revelation chapter 14. What's that? It's the marriage of the Lamb. It's the first resurrection. It's when all who are in Christ transition from mortality to immortality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes that in great detail. We'll rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. What does that mean? We'll be forever three in one, body, spirit, and soul. Those who are in heaven right now are disembodied spirits, but after the first resurrection, they will never, ever be disembodied again. They will have their forever body, incorruptible DNA. They'll never, ever die. They'll always be three in one, body, spirit, and soul from that point forward. All of us who are here in Christ at the time of the second coming will transition in the blink of an eye from mortality to immortality, putting on our incorruptible bodies. Also rising up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so shall we be forever with the Lord as well. Now, what's the next key event? Revelation 15 describes those of us who were here during the Great Tribulation. It describes us standing in heaven, and there's a special song that we will sing. The lyrics for that song appear in Revelation 15, not the lyrics for a Taylor Swift song, not the lyrics for Beyonce, or even Ed Sheeran, who has some great songs. No, we're going to be singing praises about our Lord, praises about our God, who saves us from eternal damnation and gives us eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, that's an important secret. After the first resurrection, I believe the beginning of Revelation chapter 15 reveals, because it says we're standing in heaven. God gives us a harp, each of us. And the lyrics to this special song are provided there, and we're going to sing that song. Now, what's the key point there? Everything that's going to happen isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation, but it reveals that after the first resurrection, all who are in Christ spend some time in heaven. Also after that, it's noted that the seven final plagues are poured out, Revelation chapters 15 and 16. My perception is that chapters 15 and 16, the seven plagues prophecy, reveal that when the seven final plagues are poured out on this earth, that is the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is for who? All who are children of Satan. And indeed, we are not appointed to wrath. And I believe the book of Revelation reveals that we will be in heaven when the seven final plagues are poured out. Every person who has the mark of the beast is going to get a cancerous sore. Other events are happening as well. Now, what's the key thing as believers, as we are standing in heaven with the seven final plagues are poured out, what's the next key event after that? The next key event after the seven final plagues are poured out and those who belong to this world suffer the wrath of God, the next key event is the destruction of the headquarters of the one world religion, that is Rome. Once Rome is destroyed, the headquarters for the one world religion, Jesus Christ returns and he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. So those are the key events going from Revelation chapter 5 to Revelation chapter 19. Those are the key events in all the prophecies, Revelation chapter 5 to 19, let's circle back now to the key event that happens right before the Battle of Armageddon. The key event is the destruction of Rome, the headquarters for the one world religion, and a description of the one world religion, as well as an instruction. Okay, let's hear it. The purple and scarlet prophecy. And before we hear it in its entirety, I want to read the instruction so that it resonates. Now, those who are wise receive the prophecies in the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, a special blessing comes on those who hear the words of prophecy in the book of Revelation read and who obey the prophecy. Now, how do you obey a prophecy? You follow any instruction provided. So what's the instruction in this prophecy? I want to pull it out, then we're going to hear the prophecy in its entirety. Revelation 18:4 has the instruction. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people, talking about the one world religion, the harlot church, the Roman Catholic Church during the Great Tribulation. It will be under the leadership of the false prophet, the final pope. It says, then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people, do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. Now, what's the greatest sin that the Roman Catholic Church is going to engage in, the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation? Worship of the Antichrist. Worship of the Antichrist. Now, if you don't know in advance that the harlot church is the Roman Catholic Church, and if you don't know in advance that there's no pre-tribulation rapture, then it's a possibility that you could be deceived, that you could take the mark of the beast, even though that's not God's plan and purpose for your life. Now, each of us has to decide, are we going to cooperate with God or are we going to cooperate with Satan? If your choice is to cooperate with God, here's God's instruction for you and for me. Come away from her, talking about the great prostitute, the mother of all prostitutes, the one world religion. Come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. You will be punished with her. Everyone who takes the mark of the beast is going to be punished. Everyone who takes the mark of the beast will participate in the great white throne judgment and will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now let's go and hear this prophecy in its entirety. We're going to hear the description of the one world religion during the Great Tribulation. We're going to hear a report of the location, secrets that identify the location of the one world religion, Babylon, which is Rome. And then finally, we're going to hear about the destruction of the headquarters for the one world religion. So this headquarters is referred to as the body of the woman. So God's going to take out the body of the woman, its physical location on this present earth, and we're going to hear in this prophecy, Rome will never, ever exist again. Never, ever exist again on this present earth during the millennial reign or on the new earth to come. Okay, here it is in its entirety, the purple and scarlet prophecy, reading from the book of Revelation. It says, one of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. Come with me, he said, and I will show you the judgment that's going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, that had 7 heads and 10 horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand, she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk, drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Let me pause there for a second. So how is the one world religion drunk with the blood of God's holy people? The one world religion is going to be responsible for taking out Christians, those who refuse to take the mark of the beast. They're going to behead, Revelation 20 tells us, they're going to behead those who give testimony for Jesus Christ and refuse the mark of the beast and refuse to worship the statue of the beast during the Great Tribulation. I could see that she was drunk, drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Why are you so amazed? The angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns on which she sits. The beast you saw was once alive but isn't now. And yet, he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. Now, this beast here is a brief reference, to Satan, who's going to come up out of the bottomless pit at the end of the millennial reign. And then after a short time, he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's eternal destruction. However, because Satan will have been in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, all the mortals who failed to participate during the first resurrection and who were born to mortals after the first resurrection, they're going to be amazed when they see Satan, because he will have not had any activity on the present earth for 1,000 years. So it's going to be shocking for them. Okay, let's continue. Verse 9. This calls for a mind with understanding. The 7 heads of the beast represent the 7 hills where the woman rules. They also represent 7 kings. 5 kings have already fallen. The 6th now reigns, and the 7th is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was, but is no longer, is the 8th king. He is like the other 7, and he too is headed for destruction. So the scarlet beast is the Antichrist. Let's continue. Verse 12 says, the 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give him their power and authority together. Let me back up for a second. So verses 11 to 13 refer to the period of the Great Tribulation. Verse 14, together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is Lord of all lords and King of all kings, and his called and chosen and faithful ones will be with him. So this is a reference to the fact that after the Great Tribulation, sometime later, the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen, as we've discussed today, and Jesus Christ is going to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. Now, verse 15 gets back to this key prophecy. Then it says, then the angel said to me, the waters where the prostitute is ruling. In other words, where the one world religion has its influence, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation, it says the waters where the prostitute is ruling represent masses of people of every nation and language. So the one world religion is going to be a religion for some people in all nations. So 100% of nations will be impacted. So whether you live in Mexico or the United States or Canada or the United Kingdom or Switzerland or Nigeria, Zimbabwe, the list goes on and on. Wherever you live, you need to know today that your nation is going to be influenced. It says the waters where the prostitute, so in other words, the one world religion, where it rules, it says people of every nation and language. So whether you're speaking English, Amharic, French, maybe you're speaking a language that only 1,000 people speak. It's impacting that language and individuals who speak that language is what I mean to say. This one world religion is going to be everywhere in every nation. Now let's continue. Verse 16 says, the scarlet beast and his 10 horns all hate the prostitute. And that's very interesting. They hate the one world religion. Why exactly? They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. So now we see we're talking about the body. They're going to burn the body, the headquarters. I've given my perception of what this is going to be in the natural, but let's hear what God says. Verse 17 says, for God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authorities to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. So God's going to put in the mind of the Antichrist to destroy Rome. And so God's going to use the Antichrist and the leaders of the one world government to take out his enemy, its body, specifically to take out the body of the one world religion. What's the body of the one world religion? It's its headquarters, that's Rome. And then verse 18 says, and this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world. And I want to pause for a second. You might say, it doesn't make sense to me that the Antichrist would take out Rome if he's working in tandem with the final pope, that's the false prophet. If the Antichrist is working with the false prophet and the false prophet causes people, instructs people, to worship the Antichrist, why would the Antichrist be at odds with the headquarters for the one world religion where the false prophet has his headquarters? And I shared this theory. The Bible doesn't say this. I'm just telling you my opinion. It could certainly be wrong, but maybe this is true. Think about this. People who are hungry for power, if you notice, people who are hungry for power, whenever they get it, it's not enough. It's not enough. A person wants to be mayor, they get to be mayor, then it's not enough. Now they need to be this. Then they become governor, it's not enough. Now they need to be this. Now they're president, it's not enough. Now they need to be, and it just keeps going on and on like that. So what am I saying? I imagine this is my opinion, this is not Bible scripture. I imagine that the Antichrist, when he sees the wealth of Rome and that city is the wealthiest city, number one in terms of GDP, number one in terms of wealth, number one in terms of influence, that he resents the power that it wields, and he wants that power, that influence for himself, even though the false prophet is supporting him. Okay, let's continue. Verse 18 says, and this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world. Okay, so we know that's Rome. The prophecy continues with Revelation 18, which says, after all this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture, and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her because of her desires for extravagant luxury. The merchants of the world have grown rich. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her, for her sins are piled as high as heaven, and God remembers her evil deeds. Do to her as she has done to others, double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others, so brew twice as much for her. She glorified herself and lived in luxury, so match it now with torment and sorrow. She boasted in her heart, I am queen on my throne. I am no helpless widow, and I have no reason to mourn. Therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day, death and mourning and famine. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. So we just heard Babylon the Great, that city, during the Great Tribulation, it's Babylon the Great. After the Great Tribulation has ended, after the first resurrection has occurred, after those of us who are in Christ, who are here during the Great Tribulation, are standing in heaven singing songs of praise to our Lord, after the seven final plagues are poured out on this earth, Rome is going to be destroyed by fire. Verse 9, continuing, says, and the kings of the world who committed adultery with her and enjoyed her great luxury will mourn for her as they see the smoke rising from her charred remains. They will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will cry out, how terrible. How terrible for you, O Babylon, you great city. In a single moment, God's judgment came on you. The merchants of the world will weep and mourn for her, for there's no one left to buy their goods. She bought great quantities of gold, silver, jewels, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, things made of fragrant thyme wood, ivory goods and objects made of expensive wood, and bronze, iron, and marble. She also bought cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, wagons, and bodies, that is, human slaves. The fancy things you love so much are gone, they cry. All your luxuries and splendor are gone forever, never to be yours again. The merchants who became wealthy by selling her these things will stand at a distance, terrified by her great torment. They will weep and cry out, how terrible for that great city. She was clothed in finest purple and scarlet linens, decked out with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. And all the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They will cry out as they watch the smoke ascend, and they will say, where is there another city as great as this? And they will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief. And they will cry out, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting her great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it's all gone. Rejoice over her fate, O heaven, and people of God and apostles and prophets, for at last God has judged her for your sakes. So when Rome burns, it is a judgment. A judgment from God. Now, the reality of Rome burning, it's carried out. It's carried out. The mastermind of Rome burning is the Antichrist, the Scarlet Beast. But he and the kings of the world, they are used to carry out God's plans. Verse 21 says, then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone. He threw it into the ocean and shouted, just like this, the great city Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. The sound of harps, singers, flutes, and trumpets will never be heard in you again. No craftsmen and no trades will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. For your merchants were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries. Let's pause there for a second. How is it that the one world religion is going to deceive the nations of the world with its sorceries? Friends and truth seekers, there are going to be miracles, bona fide, genuine miracles, talking about fire being called down from heaven. In Revelation 13 says there are going to be many amazing miracles. But these are the result of sorcery, supernatural power, magic. Magic, supernatural power derived from Satan himself. Let's look at a definition of sorcery. And it says sorceries, so more than one kind of sorcery. Dictionary.com says, sorcery is supernatural power or the ability to use supernatural powers, witchcraft, or magic. The word sorcery often, though not always, refers to so-called black magic, magic used for evil purposes. That's exactly what the Bible's talking about here. Magic used for evil purposes, witchcraft. What does that mean? Supernatural power used for evil purposes comes from Satan. Supernatural power used for evil purposes comes from Satan. So what is the Bible revealing to us? The one world religion, the Roman Catholic Church, its leader, the final pope, is going to use witchcraft, black magic, to perform sorceries that will deceive the nations. When people see the false prophet causing people to rise up out of wheelchairs, for example, or doing other supernatural miracles, I'm just using that as an example, they will say, they will compare him to Jesus. They're going to say many, many complimentary and effusive words of praise when they see these miracles. They're going to think that this supernatural power is godly, but it's in fact the opposite. It's evil. It's not of God, it's of Satan. Now we're told, for your merchants, talking about the merchants that supported Rome, were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries. So the headquarters for the one world religion, the headquarters that sends out the cardinals, that sends out the bishops, where the false prophet has his headquarters, you deceive the nations with your sorceries. In your streets flow the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people. So in the streets of Rome, Christians will be brought there, Christians from around the world, and Christians will lose their lives. The blood of the prophets, what does that mean? Christian prophets. Prophets, I've heard people say, well, there are no more prophets. Well, that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a lie from the pits of hell. In your streets flow the blood of prophets and of God's holy people. When? During the Great Tribulation. It's coming up. And the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. So they're going to order terror for Christians everywhere. And, of course, we know they're going to be a part of the terror, another Jewish Holocaust in Israel during the Great Tribulation. Okay, verse 19 says, chapter 19 says, verses 1 to 5, after this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. Now, what does this mean? He's avenged the murder of his servants. He's talking specifically about the murder of all of God's children during a specific period of time, the 1,260 days that precedes the first resurrection. So he's not talking about individuals who, for example, are being martyred in North Korea or Saudi Arabia or other places today. He's talking about Christians, individuals who are worshiping God and giving testimony for Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. How does he do that? He causes judgment to come on the body of the great prostitute, its physical headquarters on this present earth. And verse 3 says, and again their voices rang out, praise the Lord, the smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. So the smoke from Rome is going to ascend forever and ever. How long is that? Eternity. Then verse 4 says, then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, amen, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. That is the purple and scarlet prophecy in its entirety. Today we have focused on the rise of Rome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and for being with me and with us. We're going to continue unlocking new secrets with more discussion and analysis on the purple and scarlet prophecy. I invite you and encourage you to be with us and with me as often as you can. So PGN is typically on 7 days a week. So you can listen to this program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation, on Sundays and Thursday nights. Monday through Thursday, we have our main PGN program with Prophet Randy Chandler from 9 p.m. Texas time to about midnight. That's Monday through Thursday, 1-319-527-6737. So that's the new number for our main PGN program. Monday nights, Prophet Randy Chandler is on live. Mondays and Tuesday, revelation followed by prayer and discussion with God's people. Wednesday, Prophet Randy Chandler has Pray Over Unite. Pray Over Unite every Wednesday. Thursdays, communion night. Thursdays, communion night on PGN. So I invite you to be a part of it. You know, problems don't wait until Sunday. So it's important to connect to the solution. The solution. The solution for your problems every day. Who's the solution for your problems? Jesus. Relationship with Jesus. Hearing from Jesus. So I encourage you to be with us. We also have Terrence and Tanisha on Wednesdays. We have Jeannie and Deborah on earlier in the week on Mondays and Tuesdays. Carmen is normally on Saturdays. And on Fridays, we have Lashun. So I invite you to be with us as often as you can, connecting to the people of God and, of course, the Word of God. Until next time, friend and truth seeker, if you haven't done so yet, I encourage you according to Jeremiah 33:3. Call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, friend, God bless you.